Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today I wanted to do something which I thought I had spoken about before, but looking back through the previous episodes, maybe I actually haven't spoken about before, which is just talking about the journey of recovery. Of course, I've shared my story, you know, one of the very first episodes, I think the second episode was me telling my story, which I told 2 years ago when I recorded that episode. And there have been more little pieces of the journey that I've shared throughout episodes since then. But also everybody's journey is different. Some people have shorter journeys. Some people have longer journeys. People are dealing with different challenges. Some people have post-viral fatigue, long COVID. Some people are dealing with mold. Some people have autoimmunity. Some people are struggling with viral reactivation. So there's so many flavors that are presented in this fatigue journey, and they all influence the trajectory of the journey, the nature of the ups and downs. There's so many different factors involved, you know, just because we all live different lives with different resources, with different levels of support, with different immune systems. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. So everybody's journey is different. But they're definitely kind of benchmarks that I'm looking at when I'm working with clients. I'm not necessarily consciously asking, but I'm kind of tracking and evaluating where is this person in the journey and what's important for where they are in the journey as they navigate the next steps of their health. And so what I'd like to do in this podcast today is kind of like I've broken the journey down into four stages. These are not, I guess, you know, stages that are, you know, predetermined or accepted as these stages of chronic fatigue recovery. These are just Anna's stages of fatigue recovery as I see them from working with clients in clinical practice. Some of the things that are going to be important in each of the stages, what I'm kind of looking for with clients, and really just what to expect from the recovery process as a whole. Kind of the things I'm looking out for when I'm working with clients as indicators that something is shifting. Because sometimes the shifts can be super subtle. Sometimes they can be really profound and obvious. And I think that's also what makes navigating the journey really hard, is we can't always see the subtle signs for ourselves, or we don't necessarily appreciate how important the subtle signs are. And then we can easily give up too soon, throw the baby out with the bathwater, change strategy before we've given things enough time. So I really feel a lot of my work as a practitioner is just to like encourage clients, like, well done, you're doing great, keep on going, this is working, stick with it, you know, keep doing what you're doing instead of switch in and add in something else. And I'm sure some of my clients who listen to this podcast will be like, yep, that's me, she's always telling me just to keep on doing what I'm doing, it's so annoying. But sometimes we need that person outside of ourselves to like hold the line for us and keep us focused on the path, instead of going down a Google rabbit hole and trying the next new thing or the next supplement that we read about or whatever it might be. So that's what I'm going to talk about in this episode today. Before we go into the full episode, I'll do that annoying maybe request to ask you to leave a review or rating on iTunes or Spotify. I say this in almost every episode, but I'll say it again. This is a free podcast that I create with my own time, energy, resources to offer to you. Some weeks it's really, really hard to think of ideas for an episode. Based on time constraints, I don't always have the resources to do a lot of research to prepare an episode, but when I can, I do. Yeah, it takes a lot each week to keep this up. So I would really appreciate it if you could just leave a review. It helps other people find the episodes. It helps improve the podcast ratings. And it just makes the time, energy, and expense of continuing to show up each week for you worthwhile, to know that more people are finding this work, more people are finding this helpful, and that it's making a difference in the world. And you can play your own little part in making that difference by leaving a rating and just sharing the episode with someone you think that would benefit from the messages that I have to share. And I would be very, very grateful. And of course, if you hate the podcast and you think it's rubbish, don't leave a review. Just don't listen again. You know, each to their own. And I wish you all the best on your journey. But I'm sure if you're listening here, you probably are getting some value from the podcast. So let's go into it. I have broken down the stages of recovery into four main stages. There may be, you know, nuances to this. You know, not everything is black and white. In fact, when you're working with chronic illness, there's a lot of gray. So these are just four general stages as I see them when I'm working with clients. And I'll share a little bit just about my own experience, and I'll share a little bit about what I'm observing and experiencing from client work. And I'll tell you what they all are up front, and then we'll go into them in further detail. So the first stage, surprise, surprise, is stabilizing. So the first thing we always want to do is to stabilize the system. And if you've listened to this podcast or previous episodes, this will probably come as no surprise to you because it's something I keep on reiterating again and again and again, often because it's lacking and most people have not got yet, even maybe after years of being unwell, to the point where they're stable. So the first step is stability because we cannot move forward without stability. The second step is digging deeper, which involves maybe dealing with infections or some sort of detox protocol, just some kind of like deeper, what I would call more aggressive work, which is why we need the stability first and foremost. It's really difficult to do the more aggressive work without some capacity, some stability. Then the third stage is what I call the chop wood, carry water stage. This is kind of like the boring stage. It's you're not stabilizing. You're not doing any like big aggressive protocols. You're just kind of like showing up and you're just doing what you're doing. And this can often be the time with clients when I'm like, I don't want to see you for 2 months now. You just need to go away and chop wood and carry water. Obviously, let me know if there's any issues, but let's just give you more time. And then the fourth and final stage is what I call preparing to be well. There comes a point in your journey where your identity will really start to shift from illness to wellness. And with that, there may be some limiting beliefs that you need to let go of. You may need to address some of the fears of building capacity. And of course, there needs to be some like ongoing titrated work that will help support the increasing of capacity as a whole. If you can hear anything rumbling, it's just my stomach. It's almost lunchtime, so there's nothing to worry about. But let's go into each of these areas in a little bit more detail. So I guess the first one is stabilizing, the stabilizing phase. And if you've listened to previous episodes, as I've said already, I talk about the stabilizing factors a lot. But just to kind of paint the picture, I guess, from my own journey and from, I guess, what a lot of other people may experience as well, when you become unwell to the point you can no longer live the life that you were once able to live, essentially, you're hurled into a state of chaos. You know, if you had a virus, like somebody who is experiencing long COVID, if you had like an acute event, which was a big trigger, it's even more sudden. In my own journey, it was more of like a slow burn. I talk about circling the drain. And then it was almost like, you know, that point when like water goes like down the drain. And it's like, at first of all, there's like these big swirls. And then as you get closer towards the end, it like starts to go really, really fast. And then it goes and everything just drops. And so that's kind of how I would describe my journey, is it was first of all these big slow circles that then just got faster and faster and faster. And then there was a drop. And that drop was kind of like the point of no return for me, where I had to finally let go of life as I knew it. And your experience might have been something different. You know, there's nuance to everything. But I think we get to this point where we can no longer continue as we once have. either because our body just completely gives up and we cannot, or sometimes it can also be a mindset shift or like a wake up where we're like, I cannot keep on going. I just can no longer cope. And with that, there is chaos. Because for a lot of us, we don't understand what's happened. We're in shock. We're trying to make sense of it all. We're trying to understand what's going on in our body. We're seeing doctors. We're being told different things. We're having different tests. We're trying to find a way to live our lives in some way. We're holding on to things we don't want to let go of. We're starting to let go of things, but there's grief there. We're sort of learning who's supporting us, who's not supporting us. It's chaos. It's absolute chaos. And I guess if you're in that stage of your journey, maybe the one thing to hold on to is sometimes before there is reorganization, there is chaos. So some of this chaos is the start of the reorganization process, start of your body being able to reorganize some of the disorganization that you have been surviving on for so long. And by breaking it all down and by pulling it all apart, you have this opportunity to rebuild again. And we need to rebuild those solid foundations from the bottom up. And that's what the first stage is. And if I could do it all again, which I hope I will never, ever have to do, the best piece of advice I would give myself is just give space for the chaos. You know, often when things feel out of control, we want to grab, we want to hold on, we want to keep like everything together. And if you can give yourself permission and if you have the support and the resources and the means to just let things fall apart, give space for the grief, give space for the loss, give space for the disorganization. Just give space. What your body needs more so than anything right now in this stage is the space to just let it all fall apart. So much easier said than done. And then as you're starting to feel ready to mobilize again, you've given yourself space, you're starting to come to terms with what's going on, bearing in mind here that you might need support, you might need therapy, you might need somatic therapy, you may need a grief counselor, you may need to call in your friends and family. Give yourself support here to process the chaos. Then you can start to rebuild. And the rebuilding comes from those stabilizing factors that I've spoken about so many times, but just re-stabilizing your life after the chaos, stabilizing your routine. You wake up at the same time, you go to bed at the same time. Pacing, periods of activity, periods of rest based on your capacity. Stabilizing your blood sugar so they're not big, massive highs and lows happening throughout the day. And then stabilizing your nervous system. And the great news about that is now, as of the time recording this podcast, I've moved my Nurturing Resilience Nervous System program onto a subscription-based model, which means just for £39 a month, you can access the course, which will teach you all the tools that you need to stabilize your nervous system. But we also have monthly group calls where we can all get together. You can be part of a community and you can receive my support. So if you're stuck on that nervous system stabilizing piece, or if you're in this chaos phase and you know that you need to support your nervous system, the Nurturing Resilience program is just such an affordable way for you to access that. And I know because many people have told me they feel so confused about the nervous system work and what exactly is required. You don't have to be confused anymore if you join Nurturing Resilience, because it will just teach you everything that you need to know. And if you wanted even a little bit more of a sales pitch, I had an email from someone this week who just joined, and this was her feedback. I just wanted to say that I'm thrilled with your Nurturing Resilience program. I can say this from a place of some experience with reproducible limbic retraining programs that just fell short, in my opinion. Yours is by far the most realistic, not setting false expectations, holistic, detailed, and the very best at articulating an understanding of every nuance of the journey with its grief and crashes, etc. This understanding is what motivates me to do the resourcing, which is something we teach in the program. not just going through the odd motions and working on false timeframes. I cannot thank you enough for this. So that was a lovely piece of feedback to receive in my inbox earlier this week. And I always do my best to hold space for the fact that different things work for different people. But if you are feeling lost, if you are feeling stuck in this chaos phase, if you do need to stabilize, you don't know where to turn to, one of the reasons for turning the Nurturing Resilience program into a subscription-based model was to help it become more accessible to people and to help more people, essentially. So that could be an option for you. Coming back to this idea of stability, now that my sales pitch is over, is we're really just looking for exactly that, for the system to feel more stable. And it's just a sense I get when I'm conversing with my one-on-one clients. I'm like, right, things feel more stable now. You might not be feeling great, but things are kind of consistent. There's not like big flare-ups or big crashes. There might be little dips, highs and lows here and there, but generally like nothing big is happening. It's just sort of like, I'm not saying you feel well, or you feel great, but it's like you feel consistently the same most days, accounting for that there may be cyclical flares if you're a woman. There may be natural ups and downs with life. If something does happen, it's like very attributable to something external. You're like, yeah, I felt worse, but it was because X, Y, and Z happened, which isn't part of my normal routine, because that's life. But overall, there's a sense of stability. And once we've reached that sense of stability, we're happy with blood sugar, we're happy with routine, we're happy with pacing, we're happy with sleep. The nervous system is resilient enough. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to feel safe enough. Then we're ready to move into the next stage, which is digging deeper. And here I would say this is the more aggressive protocols. And I use aggressive lightly, like aggressive can sound really aggressive, but sometimes when we're doing air quotes aggressive protocols, it's actually, we're still moving very gently depending on the person. But this might be when we're starting an antimicrobial protocol for a gut infection or for mold, or someone is now starting to introduce some detoxing, maybe that's like infrared sauna. We're doing something that is essentially going to challenge the system. If it's perhaps like not, we don't need to detox, we don't need to deal with infections, it could actually be the stress of now starting a little bit more of an exercise program, for example, or, you know, some other thing, maybe some fasting, which is again, is a hormetic stressor. So a stressor which applied in the right dosage, creating a positive adaptation. So once we're in the second phase, we're just starting to do things which are challenging the system a little bit more for the greater good. There's always potential when we maybe do an antimicrobial protocol, or we start some detox, or we start taking binders or something like that. It's going to shake the cage, so to speak. It's going to rattle things up a little bit. And that's why we want to have the stability that we've built in the stabilizing phase. And so I have seen with clients, like they've started an antimicrobial protocol for their gut and it's just caused like a massive flare up and they've really gone backwards. And then we have to sometimes go, okay, that was a bit too aggressive for your system. What do we need to do? Maybe we need to go back and stabilize a bit more. Maybe we need to have a gentler protocol. Maybe there's something else we need to do to support the system before this can be implemented. But here we might just be looking for, you know, once we're actually able to implement the protocol without going backwards or having any flare-ups, then we might be just be looking for really subtle signs. So for example, I have a client and she was like, who has endometriosis and a whole bunch of complex things going on. And she's like, this is the first time in ages that my period came and I didn't have to lie in bed all day. I was able to sit at my desk. I was still bent over in pain, but I didn't have to go to bed. And that was a win. I was like, yes, we're on the right path. There was a change. There was a positive change in the right direction. And sometimes we do have to celebrate those really, really subtle wins. And I had another client who was like really struggling with like chronic loose stools. And she was like, 50% of the time they're normal, 50% of the time they're terrible. And I was like, great, we've seen an improvement. Half of the time they're better now. So when you're working on improving your energy, sometimes your energy is going to be the last thing that actually changes, but we're looking for all the other positive little signs that tell us we're on the right path. What we're doing is bringing the system into more stability and more balance. So I think this is where people get discouraged, especially if you're paying money to work with a practitioner. I think there's sometimes this expectation because you're working with a practitioner, things are going to happen faster. And they might happen faster on a macro scale in terms of you might achieve more in 6 months than you would in 2 years working on your own. But the progress for these chronic and complex cases is often going to be slower than what you would like. And it's really important to be prepared for that. You know, sometimes we see people who progress really quickly, and those are the lucky ones. And I think it's really important to hold space for all the possibilities, because very often when certain programs or people are marketing the work that they do, they'll take the best possible results and use that as their marketing material. So the person who got the fastest outcome, the best outcome in the short space of time, they'll say, look what you can achieve. But you have to understand that that is the top 10% of what can be achieved. It's not necessarily a reflection of all the results. So my goal, as that lovely review on the Nurturing Resilience program said, is really to be realistic about what to expect. We're looking for just those little signs. With women, I think it's great because we have a menstrual cycle, well, if you're a menstruating woman. And so I love to be like, okay, well, you know, how was your period this cycle compared to last cycle? Or how were you feeling in your luteal phase last cycle compared to your luteal phase this cycle? So we can kind of use the menstrual cycle as a ballpark. And sometimes it's not always better. Sometimes you have a wonky cycle and things are a bit worse, but then we have a kind of means of tracking things. With men, it's obviously a little bit harder because we don't have the menstrual cycle, but things can be often a little bit more linear with men generally because they don't have fluctuating hormones every single 4 weeks or multiple different fluctuations across 4 weeks, should I say. So that's kind of the next stage, is you're sort of doing these more complex protocols and you're just looking for those little shifts. Years ago, I did some training on a Lyme, working with Lyme. And I remember the practitioner at the time said, you want to move 1 point every 3 months. So if we're working on a scale of 1 to 10, and let's say people like to do this different ways, but let's say like 10 out of 10 is the worst fatigue possible. And then 1 out of 10 is the best level of energy possible. That means like every 3 months, you would maybe go like first 3 months, you want to go from 10 to 9, then go from 9 to 8, then go from 8 to 7. And that's like a year's worth of work. I actually find in practice, we see people move faster than that. But that would be potentially like the sort of lowest expectation. And then anything faster than that is even better, so to speak. And if you're not making progress after 3 months, then we really do have to sit down and think about why. So then moving into the next phase. So the next phase is what I call the chop wood, carry water phase. The reason why I call it that is because it's boring. It's just repetition. You've got your stability, you've got your routine, you've done the kind of more aggressive protocols. You might be doing like lighter versions of those. Like you might still be doing your infrared sauna or still doing a little bit of gut support here and there. But for the most part, there's like big, deep, intense pieces of work have been done. And this is where we want to really build capacity. This is where we're starting to kind of stabilize things out. We might be doing a little bit of fine tuning. So maybe testing like, oh, are there any nutrient deficiencies that I've potentially created from taking too many binders? Or maybe we need to just fine tune a little bit now in terms of hormonal balance, or there might be other things that are like cropping up due to life happening. Maybe you go on holiday and you get some food poisoning. So there's obviously always things happening and we're like tweaking and adjusting and just making sure that everything is nice. But the main goal here is to just start to expand more. And that is within a healthy way, within capacity, maybe doing a little bit more exercise, maybe starting to do a little bit more cognitive challenge. With clients, it can look like starting to walk a little bit more, or maybe starting to resistance train. With some of my clients, it's driving. I'm saying, how much are you driving each week? Could you do a little bit more driving? Or it might be reading a book or reading a nonfiction book. Spending a bit more time reading each day, starting to go back to work very slowly. So the kind of baseline habits that support our health are just like chop wood, carry water, chop wood, carry water. They're happening in the background. And then we're adding in challenge. Now, we don't want to add in an exercise program, more driving, more reading, and going back to work all at once. We pick one thing and we use the principles of titration, which means that we're adding in a small amount, we're seeing how the body responds, we stabilize there for a bit, then we add in the next little bit. We see how the body responds, we stabilize there for a bit, and then we maybe think about adding in the next little bit. And even at this stage, there still be ups and downs. Even today, in my state of health, I still have variation in my capacity based on just things that are going on in my life, more stress, more busyness at work, my menstrual cycle, getting too gung-ho and doing too much exercise in a week. All of these things still influence my capacity day to day. But there's a gradual expansion that is happening over time, and that's what we're looking for here. And obviously, there might be some setbacks, some flare-ups, maybe like another mold exposure, or you get a SIBO relapse or something like that. So you might have to return to some of the protocols that you've needed to do in the past, but it should feel a lot more manageable. It should feel a lot more light touch. Nothing should feel too hard and heavy and aggressive at this point in time. And then the final piece of the puzzle, or the final stage, so to speak, is what I call the preparing to be well. There will come a point in your journey where you're kind of going to have to start thinking like a healthy person and less like an ill person. And there'll be a lot of fear associated with that, because it's inevitable as part of you managing your health and managing this journey that you would create certain protective behaviors to keep yourself safe. And part of recovery is having the confidence to unlearn some of those self-protective behaviors, like excessive resting or socially isolating or fear of eating certain foods. Maybe there might be fear around going back to work, fear of relapse, fear of trying new activities, fear of travel, fear of going away for a weekend with friends, whatever it might be for you. There is going to have to be a time where you face those fears. And this is where I love somatic work, because I think it's so great for expanding our capacity, but also helping us manage the emotion of fear. And it can be really helpful to kind of get into contact with what your beliefs are about your ability to progress. Like, I can't do that because I'll be sick. Or I can't do that because the last time that happened, I relapsed. And we need to be realistic. Obviously, we can't go and do more than we're ready for, but we also can't hold ourselves back out of fear. So this is where we get to this stage in the recovery where we maybe want to start to ask ourselves the question, like, where are we limiting ourselves? And where are we holding ourselves back? You know, are there any beliefs that we need to address? Do we need to work on building more capacity in the nervous system? Can we challenge our capacity in other ways, like with hormetic stresses, like exercise is a stress, fasting is a stress, heat exposure is a stress, cold exposure is a stress? Those are all ways we can also expand our capacity. But how can we continue to expand our life in a way that feels safe so that we can move more towards wellness and more away from illness. And that's where it can maybe be really helpful to have a coach or somatic practitioner if you're feeling a little bit stuck in your expansion process. And of course, there's also the Nurturing Resilience Program, which will teach you tools on how to work with that from a nervous system perspective. So those are the four stages. Just to recap on them, the first stage being stabilizing, the second stage being digging deeper, those more aggressive protocols, detox and dealing with infections. The third is just the chop wood, carry water, fine-tuning, expanding capacity. And the fourth is preparing to be well. And so just as you're listening to all of this now, maybe just take a moment to think about where you are. Are you still stuck in the stabilizing phase? Are you ready now to dig deeper? Are you at the point in your journey where you just need to chop wood, carry water, give yourself more space and time to integrate all the good work you've done to get this far? Do you maybe need to work with a practitioner to help you with some fine tuning? Because I have some clients who come to me just at the fine tuning stage and we do a little bit of stuff and it can really help. And then preparing to be well, where are you holding yourself back in your journey, perhaps out of fear or learned behaviors that were keeping you safe once that you don't need anymore? And then based on where you are and what you've learned from listening to this, maybe just have a think about one small thing that would help you move your journey in the direction that it needs to move. And that could be as much as just like, for example, if you're still in that chaos phase and trying to stabilize, just giving more space, more allowing. Or the digging deeper, it's like maybe, okay, yes, okay, I know I've got to do this detox. I've been putting it off, but let me do it now. Or as I said, the fine-tuning stage, maybe it's hiring a practitioner for that fine-tuning or just the patience to chop the wood, carry water, chop the wood, carry water, or working with a practitioner to help you with limiting beliefs. So I hope you have enjoyed listening to this episode. I hope it has been insightful and helpful for you to understand yourself more in your journey and get a little bit more connected with your needs. And I'll see you in the next episode.